This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Your life is not destroyed because of what's happening on the outside. Your life is being destroyed because of what you are allowing to happen on the inside. How long have you been carrying that hurt? Your life is being destroyed because of what you won't deal with on the inside. How long have you been carrying that pain? 75 years old, and you're still carrying a 40-year-old pain and hurt, and you're wondering why you're taking all the medications and stuff you're taking, because you're being destroyed, not on the outside. You're being destroyed on the inside.
Christmas is near, and we invite you to join us for our special Christmas Day service, Saturday, December 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make plans now to join us on December 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in through the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app, YouTube, Facebook, and if you're in the Atlanta area, join us in person. Set your reminder today. We can't wait to celebrate with you.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 14. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation and then the Message Translation. This is our text. I was praying earlier this week about, all right, what do we do next in this series that we've been talking about, grace-based relationships. And today may be one of the most important teachings that I've done in this series. It's a subject that's not foreign to your ears. I've taught on it before, but in light of the revelation that's flown through this series, God told me to begin to teach today on overcoming this area of hurt and how to never be hurt again. I didn't know how detrimental to a Christian life that hurt can be, and yet, in relationships, you're bound to experience some kind of hurt, even when you deal with grace-based relationships. And I never knew it was so dangerous. I never knew that the end result of hurt was to try to kill you and put you in the grave as soon as possible. And so, if you have been hurt by relationships, or you're presently hurting from relationships, then you're in the right place today. And I pray, and I've already prayed, that your ears will be anointed to hear. That means you're not just going to hear what I'm saying, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you as I preach. There are going to be some things He's going to say to you that didn't necessarily come out of my mouth. And so you're anointed today to hear this message. And those of you who are streaming in, you are anointed to hear this message as well. In fact, those of you who are streaming in, hit that share button and tell people what I'm about to talk about. Tell them to get on right away, right away. This is going to be a day of great deliverance. Amen. I realize that when I hear on the news people shot somebody or something happened, it's not really because they're crazy. They're hurt. And a lot of hurt produces a lot of anger, or if it's turned inward, it'll produce a lot of depression. And so what we have is a generation that's hurting. And you'll begin to see that unfold as we get into this today. How to never be hurt again. Is that possible? Pastor Dolly, is that a reality? How to never be hurt again. And so let's begin in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. In the NLT, he says, the human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit? A human spirit, he says, this human spirit, the real you, can endure a sick body, but boy, a crushed spirit, that's another story. And then in the Message Bible, he says this, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Now, the question wasn't asked to just indicate that there's nothing you can do, but to show you the seriousness of hurt and what happens. All of you are familiar with the little nursery rhyme, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me." You remember that? I can't tell you how much of a lie that is. It's just not true, because names hurt. Words hurt. Being lied about and lied on hurts. Being misunderstood hurts. And so, before I get into this, let's go to Proverbs 12, since we're in Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and 18, the King James first and then the New Living Translation. Words hurt. And sometimes you look at people and they appear strong. Just because they appear strong doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Everybody wants you to say nice things about them. You know, when I'm all over the news and they're talking about something they don't halfway know about, it hurts. You have to be careful about getting on social media, because when you hear those words, it hurts. You're hurt by somebody you don't even know. They do hurt. And so we have to learn how to deal with it, because the potential for hurt is all around us. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." He says there's a type of speech that pierces you like a sword. Look at this in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says, "Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing." Cutting remarks. Have you ever been around, you know, someone who made a cutting remark to you? So words cut. They hurt. And so throw away the little nursery rhyme, okay? Don't even let your kids say it. It's not true at all. So one of the most difficult things people deal with in life is being hurt. Very difficult. Hurt feelings rob us of so many of God's blessings. Hurt feelings will rob you. If we don't understand this today, and if we refuse to deal with this today, you are allowing a robber to exist in your life. Robbing you of what? Robbing you of the blessings of God. So it sounds to me that this is a blessing blocker. Hurt feelings will rob you of God's greater blessings. So before we can really move on in life, you must understand how vital it is to take hurt out before you can move on. Now, a lot of people think, no, I'm moving on in life. I'll just, you know, I'm hurt, but I'm gonna move on. That's deception. And I'm gonna show you why today. People think that they can build their lives on the foundation of hurt, and you can't. You have to deal with the hurt in order to successfully move on in your life, or you're going to be deceived in thinking that you've moved on in your life when that's just not the truth. See, you don't want to build upon a foundation of hurt. Why? Two reasons. Because number one, if you start trying to build your life on the foundation of hurt, distortion is going to enter in, and you're going to be distorted in the decisions you make. And your view of everything in your life is going to be distorted. I need you to understand what I mean by when something is distorted. In other words, how you look at it from a place of hurt, it's always going to be a false perversion of what it really is. To distort means to give a false, perverted, or disappropriate meaning to something. Distortion is a misrepresentation of something, distorting facts, for example. Distortion is about deception. When you look at something, your view of something will always be twisted. When you try to build a life on a foundation of hurt, when you look at things, you're gonna see things through the eye of a lie. It's never going to be the full truth. It's twisted. I like the synonym. It's bent. You look at every view in your life, it's bent. And people around you can't understand, why can't you see this like it really is? Because you're hurt and everything's distorted. Your decisions are going to be distorted because you're trying to build things on the foundation of hurt. So number one, that's what happens when you say, well, I'm hurt, but I'm going to go on. No. You don't want to try to go on without dealing with the hurt. So the second reason you don't want to build on the foundation of hurt is this area of bitterness. It will make you bitter. It'll make you bitter towards others, and it'll prevent you from going forward. You think you're going to go forward, but it's going to make you bitter towards others, and it's going to prevent you from going forward. And that's the deception. Somehow in your mind, you're thinking you're going forward. All of this stuff happening. I don't know why this is happening to me. Why is that happening to me? And why is this not working the way it needs to work? Why? How come I'm not farther down the line where I think I should be? Because, you know, you're bitter at so many people. The blame game shows up, and it prevents you from going forward. I want you to look at this scripture I found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15 in the ESV version. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 through 15 in the ESV version. Look at this. He says, strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness and for the holiness without which no man or no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by bitterness many become defiled. Do you see those two things? First of all, bitterness causes trouble, and bitterness, those who will walk in it, the Bible says it defiles. You're not going to be able to go on with your life and then become bitter at something and think it's supposed to turn out right. You're going to have to settle this in your thinking, I've got to deal with the hurt. I've got to deal with the hurt. And I'm saying to you who are here today and those of you who are streaming in live, you got to deal with the hurt. I have buried too many people who died with unresolved hurt, which is one of the reasons they died. Because hurt is designed, it is headed towards the grave. And I'm telling you today that you can never be hurt again if you'll understand what I'm saying. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 in the Amplified. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We must stop finding our point of reference in our past. We continue to find our point of reference in our past, and we got to stop doing that. My point of reference is not my past pain. And a lot of people find their point of reference in their past pain. Well, you don't understand, the reason why I act like this is because, you know, I did this. Your point of reference is always your past, and we got to stop finding our point of reference in our past. Well, the reason why I'm not a happy person and your point of reference is all your past. Well, the reason why, you know, I'm divorced three times and the point of reference is always your past. Can't you not see how the past pain is the past pain you keep referring to? The past pain was let you know you hadn't dealt with it. And then you keep going back. That's your point of reference, the past pain. People who have daddy issues, the past pain. You keep going back to that past pain. And 2 Corinthians says, here's what should be your point of reference. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. And that's got to be your point of reference. Your point of reference has got to be, I am a new creature. I am a new creature altogether. And that's why I can be successful, and that's why I have overcome things in the past, and that's why I'm able to walk in love and forgiveness, because my new point of reference is I'm a new creation in Christ altogether. Old previous moral spiritual conditions has passed away. Those old previous moral dispositions, these things have passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Say that aloud. The fresh and the new has come. That needs to be your point of reference. Don't reference the past pain. Reference the fresh and the new. Reference the fresh and the new. The fresh and the new has come. Now, it's going to, listen, the devil's job is to do whatever worked on you to cause you pain. His job is to try to bring it up and pour salt in the wounds. And your job is to say, no, I ain't going there with you, bro. I'll figure out how you play this game. I'm not going there with you. You just stuck that in my mind because you're trying to take me somewhere I've declared I'm no longer there anymore. Are you listening to me? Please hear me, folks. We must dismiss what people have done to us. No, I didn't say you should. I said we must dismiss what people have done to us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. And I guarantee you, I bet you I've had more people do painful things to me than you, and we're not going to compare, but I bet you if I was a betting man. We must dismiss what people have done to us. It doesn't matter. What matters is our response. We've got to get to the point in our lives where we can never get hurt again. I used to think that's just not possible. That's just a fairy tale. Until I begin to understand this study, that can be a reality in all our lives. You know, we've all been around people who are hurt. How many of you have been around people who've been hurt before? Okay, so you're gonna be able to say amen to some of the stuff I'm gonna show you, because there's some things I want you to notice about being around somebody that's hurt. Number one, just three little quick things to notice about people who are hurt. When you're around people that hurt, you can tell. You don't have to be in the spirit. You don't have to have a gift of discernment, you know. You just know what happens when you're around people who have been hurt. Number one, hurt people are unpleasant to be around. Nobody, when you think about hanging out with somebody, you don't want to hang around somebody who's been hurting all the time. They always talk about about their past. Hurt people, think about it. The hurt people you've been around, they are always talking about their past. They always want to, they always want you to read their mind. Well, what's wrong? What you think? Listen, my name ain't Cleo. I ain't got no crystal ball. Tell me. They always carry their emotions on their sleeves to get you to ask them about it so they can tell you about it. What's going on? Well, you know, I know the Bible says this, but. Now, get the but out of the way and do what the Bible says. So that's one thing you notice. The second thing you notice here when you're around hurt people, hurt leads to anger. And if that anger is turned inward, it'll lead to depression. Hurt leads to anger, and is sometimes turned inward, producing depression. And so what happens is when we feel hurt, we get angry. Anger is a hurt response. You hear about angry people in the world today, shooting folks, mass shootings, all this kind of stuff. These people have been hurt. They are hurting, and they've never learned how to resolve their hurt. And hurt people eventually display anger, and they begin to feel sorry for themselves, and they lose the initiative to fight off those negative feelings. See, once you get you're hurt, then you're angry, and if that hurt is real deep, it's like, you know, whatever. I'm hurt and I'm angry, and you know. You can go up to somebody and just say, hey, and they'll cuss you. And you'd be like, wow. See, these days, you need to maintain your emotion. You don't know what you're feeling right. I'm going to say this. You know how some of y'all be driving in the car, somebody cut in front of you, and you give them the only dry finger you got? You got to be careful these days, because people so hurt, they got a gun in their car, and you did that, and they're going to speed up, and they're going to try to shoot you. A generation that's hurt, a generation that's depressed, a generation that's angry and depressed because of unresolved hurt, that they don't have the benefit of coming to a church and sitting down and getting understanding sermon about how important it is to get rid of it. It weighs you down. That anger and that hurt weighs you down and it produces depression. And guess what else it produces? It produces stress. And stress is becoming the leading cause of premature death. You understand it? If you've, how many of you have ever been hurt before? Don't raise your hand, because I don't want to cast out no lying demons today. Because they're going to be some little old pretty little Christian. I've never been hurt. Holy, all about as long as I've been saved. And you, that's the demon in you right now, that lying devil. Everybody in here has experienced hurt of some type, disappointment of some type. Hurt that most of the time mostly occurred from something that happened in a relationship. But it's stressful. It's stressful in a marriage when words were spoken and they were hurtful. It's stressful. I mean, it's so stressful. I remember when Taffy and I, when we were first married and we had our first silent fight. Everybody know what the silent fight is? I'm not talking to you because you hurt me, and I'm going to walk around the house like I'm going to be able to avoid you. And so I was doing real good, and I had a habit of losing my keys all the time, and she had a habit of knowing where they were all the time. So I had to say something. And I turned around and said, you seen my, Man, that thing went on for several days, and I thought, you know what, this is over. Let's just apologize and get it over with. And I noticed, I never forget this, when it was over with and we reconciled, I was so tired. The stress of that whole ordeal just wore me out. Some of y'all know, some of you married people know what I'm talking about, just exhausting. Those silent fights, it's almost like a good cuss out is better than walking around 3 days with a silent fight. Let's just cuss each other out real quick, get it over with. No, y'all don't do that. Y'all saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, five baptized, got Jesus on your mind and talking in tongues. Rebobo shaka. Here's another thing I want you to recognize about hurt people. Hurt people make bad decisions. They make bad decisions. When we've been hurt, we tend to make decisions to protect our feelings instead of making decisions to protect our future. Think about that. When you've been hurt, you're kind of careful because you're going to make a decision, but I don't want to make that decision because I could get hurt there. And that may be a good decision to protect your future, but if you're always making decisions to try to protect your feelings instead of making decisions to protect your future, we got to stop making decisions to protect our feelings, ladies and gentlemen. We got to stop doing that. We got to start making decisions to protect our future. I like the last part of Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. If you're always going around expecting to be hurt, and so even your decisions are governed by your fear of being hurt again, look at what he says here. This is so good. I just didn't even recognize it until recently. He says, behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread over to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the ability, power of the enemy. But here's the part, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I grab hold of that. Nothing shall by any means hurt me. So I don't have to be afraid of making a decision to protect my future. I don't have to be going around making decisions to protect my feelings, because nothing will by any means hurt you. Say this out loud. Nothing. 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 Shall by any means hurt me. And he told you why at the beginning, because you have authority over hurt. You have authority over the mastery of the enemy. You have authority over demons, serpents, and scorpions. You know, that's demonic powers. We kind of don't pay attention to that. Demons, he's talking about demonic forces that are doing everything they can to hurt you. That's what their job is. They come up with a strategy to try to cause you hurt and try to cause you pain, because every demon in the demon world knows that he can defeat a Christian who fails to use their authority and believe that nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you're looking at too many horror movies and thinking about demons coming out your wall and all that thing and all that, hiding under your bed and all that kind of stuff. And those demons aren't doing that. They're trying to get you to locate the area of your pain and hurt so they can pour salt in that wound.
Old-fashioned notions of what's right for a wife and what's right for a husband don't necessarily stand up to God's word. Creflo Dollar uncovers what the Bible says about equality in the marriage relationship in his four-message series, Grace-Based Relationships, Volume 3, The Equality of Marriage.
If you interpret these scriptures from a worldly base, what you'll have here is a man thinking that he has the right to rule over and dominate a woman, and for a woman to feel like submission is just about oppression. Those who are in Christ, they're heirs together. We stand on equal ground together because of what Jesus did. So if you're going to talk about biblical submission, you must first conclude that it is mutual submission.
The whole series can change your marriage today for a love gift of $25 or more, plus shipping and handling. Go to CreflowDollarMinistries.org and click eStore or call the number on your screen to claim your copy today. Join us online as we give thanks for all that God has done. Don't miss our special Thanksgiving Day service, Thursday, November 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, streaming worldwide.
Thank God you got up this morning. Thank God you can walk. Thank God you can see. Thank God you've got food to fix. Maybe you don't have a gigantic turkey and all the trimmings and stuff like that. Don't get off with that. Thank God for the eggs, boiled, fried, scrambled. You can have them three different ways. Be thankful and give thanks.
God's grace has kept us, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to give thanks.
When we receive Jesus into our life, it becomes a new day. No more captivity and addictions and yokes. That's the day when the favors of God begin to abound on our behalf.
Tune in through the Creflo Dollar Ministries TV app, YouTube, Facebook, or if you're in the Atlanta area, join us in person. We can't wait to celebrate with you.
We have one mission, to tell the world that our God is alive. Because all that we are is because of who Jesus is. Not just because he died, but because he lives. Because he cares. Because he loves. And because he is God. So who are we? We are his hands, his feet, his people. We are his church. So we take his message of grace all around the world, to the fatherless, to the hungry, to the hurting, to the old, and to the young we go. As he is, so are we. We are world changers.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.